Let's read together Numbers chapter 30. In this chapter, we have several laws concerning the taking of vows, specifically when a vow was valid and when a vow could be annulled. Numbers chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Or if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father holds his peace, then all her vow shall stand, and every agreement with which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father overrules her on the day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand. And the Lord will release her, because her father overruled her. If indeed she takes a husband, while bound by her vows, or by a rash utterance from her lips, by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it, and makes no response to her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her agreements by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband overrules her on the day that he hears it, he shall make void her vow which she took, and what she uttered with her lips, by which she bound herself, and the Lord will release her. Also, any vow of a widow or a divorced woman, by which she has bound herself, shall stand against her. If she vowed in her husband's house, or bound herself by an agreement with an oath, and her husband heard it, and made no response to her, and did not overrule her, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband truly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatever proceeded from her lips concerning her vows or concerning the agreement binding her, it shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will release her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict her soul, her husband may confirm it, or her husband may make it void. Now if her husband makes no response whatever to her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or all the agreements that bind her. He confirms them, because he made no response to her on the day that he heard them. But if he does make them void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, and between a father and his daughter in her youth in her father's house." Once again, let's consider some background notes for this chapter, Numbers chapter 30. In Leviticus chapter 27, we read about the laws concerning vows of consecration and dedication in Israel. Any man or woman in Israel could make vows of dedication of their material possessions to the Lord. For example, you could dedicate your house to the Lord. I'm reading Leviticus chapter 27, verses 14 and 15. "And when a man dedicates his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall set a value for it, whether it is good or bad, as the priest values it, so it shall stand. If he who dedicated it wants to redeem his house, then he must add one-fifth of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall be his." Leviticus 27, verses 14 and 15. Notice you could choose to still live in your dedicated house, but if you did, you would redeem it by giving the market value of your house to the Lord in money, plus 20%. This would certainly eliminate false dedications, wouldn't it? So under the law, you could dedicate your possessions to the Lord. Furthermore, a man or a woman could take a vow of consecration to the Lord, such as the Nazirite vow, for example. Remember, we read about this vow in Numbers chapter 6. I'm reading Numbers chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or a woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazirite to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink.'" And verse 5, "All the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord." Verse 6, "All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body." And verse 8, "All the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord." That was Numbers chapter 6, selections from verses 1 through 8. So vows were not to be taken lightly, and it was a serious matter when a vow was broken. However, there were certain conditions under which a vow could be invalidated or annulled. Those conditions are given here in Numbers chapter 30. We see in verse 2 that when a man made a vow or took an oath, it was binding. There was no back door or escape clause if he changed his mind later. So men, if you lived in Old Testament Israel, you had better think it through before you made a rash vow such as, I vow before the Lord that I will pray 3 hours every day. Now that sounds like a good and godly vow, but can you keep it? If you can't, then don't make the vow. Vows were voluntary, so no one was forced to make a vow. Now in the case of women, the vows they took were also binding unless they were invalidated either by the father of a young girl who made a vow or by the husband of a wife who made a vow. However, both in the case of an unmarried daughter who made a vow and in the case of a wife who made a vow, the father in the one case and the husband in the other case had to annul the vow when it was made or when he heard about it for the first time. Otherwise, the vow remained as valid before the Lord. The vows of widows or divorced women were binding. Now comes the obvious question that is in all of our minds at this point. Why did God give all of these different cases of annulment of vows, and what is the Bible teaching us here besides the historical record? So that brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Numbers chapter 30. Doctrinal point number one, God expects his structure of authority for the family to be honored. God expects his structure of authority for the family to be honored. You know, God has ordained several lines of authority, and he expects them to be honored. There is God-given authority in the church. There is God-given authority in the state. And there is God-given authority in the home. So God expects his structure of authority for the family to be honored. God's line of authority in the home is that the children are to be subordinate to the parents, and the wife is to be subordinate to the husband. Notice that I did not say inferior, but subordinate. These are not synonymous terms. The Lord Jesus, as the Son of God here on this earth, was subordinate to the Father, but not inferior. Jesus is God. The bottom line of this chapter concerning the annulment of certain vows is that while self-imposed religious vows were good in God's sight, they were subject to God-given duties and the God-given structure of authority for the family. The worship of children and women was just as acceptable as the worship of men, but God's structure of authority was to be maintained. If a teenage girl, for example, made a vow such as, I will never get married so that I can better serve the Lord, her father could invalidate that vow because that teenage girl may change her mind later. The father's authority here really protected the daughter from what may have been a rash vow made in the emotion of the moment. However, there would be cases where the father and his mature daughter would talk the vow over, and if it was determined that this was not a rash vow made in the emotion of the moment, then the father would let the vow stand, and it was then binding. The same was true concerning a husband and wife. Suppose a wife vowed that she would give the Lord every afternoon of every day to meet the needs of the poor. Now, that sounds like a good and godly vow, but what about her responsibilities in the home with the family? So the husband could invalidate such a vow for obvious reasons. But if the husband let the vow stand, then it was binding. Well, I think we can see how these same principles would apply today. Godly commitments of time and talent to the Lord by Christian daughters and wives must be subject to God-given roles and responsibilities in the family structure. God expects his structure of authority for the family to be honored. Doctrinal point number two, God expects the vows people make to be honored. God expects the vows people make to be honored. Now, this doctrinal point is certainly taught in this chapter about vows, isn't it? All kinds of protections were divinely built into the law, as we've seen. But once a vow of consecration or dedication was made and not annulled, it was binding. And God expected the vow to be honored. The same is true today. God expects the vows that people make to be honored. That's certainly a doctrinal point in this chapter. God expects the vows people make to be honored. Now, the obvious example is marriage. Marriage vows are made not only before the state, but before God. And God expects the vows people make to be honored. You know, even some Christians today are taking the position that, well, if this marriage doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce and try again. That kind of thinking is totally foreign to the teaching of the Bible. God expects the vows people make to be honored. Now something should be said here about our Lord's teaching in Matthew 5:37, where the Lord said, "But let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Now how does this teaching relate to vows? Well, when you look at the context of this passage, Matthew chapter 5, the Lord is here correcting a wrong teaching of the Jews at that time. They believed that if they backed up a statement with an oath, it made their statements more truthful. "No," said the Lord Jesus, "you are not to have two levels of truth. You should not have to add, 'so help me God,' or other oaths to make your statements more truthful. Yes or no should be good enough." And the same is true today. You should not have to cross your fingers behind your back or say, "so help me God," to raise yourself to another level of truth. What kind of thinking is that for the Christian, right? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. This same truth is taught in James chapter 5 and verse 12, where we read, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment," James 5:12. So the New Testament is not against vows made before the Lord, that is, vows that are in line with the Word of God. But vows are serious. It's better not to make a vow than to make it and break it. God expects the vows people make to be honored. Practical application. Don't make rash vows. Don't make rash vows. You'll notice that the word rash is used a couple of times in some of your translations in reference to certain vows that were annulled by fathers or husbands. We've seen that God built into the law safeguards against making rash vows. The Bible is against making rash, spur-of-the-moment, emotional vows. Proverbs 20 and verse 25 says, "It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterward to reconsider his vows." Proverbs 20, verse 25. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth." And verse 4 and 5 of Ecclesiastes 5. Verse 4. "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed." Verse 5. "Better not to vow than to vow and not pay." Ecclesiastes 5, verses 2, 4, and 5. I vow to read and study God's Word every day for at least 4 hours. Sounds like a great and godly vow, doesn't it? But it may be a rash vow. There may be all kinds of reasons why I may not be able to keep that vow. It's better just to commit yourself to read and study the Bible every day without attaching the vow of 4 hours. So be careful. Don't make rash vows.